All set? All right. Thanks everybody for coming out tonight. I recognize probably half of you, which is a good thing. So I'm just going to go over the south end of Cougar Lake, the treatment for 2017. Quick background, a little bit about what hydrilla is. I'm expecting a large crowd, people that might not have known what hydrilla is. So in 2011, hydrilla was found in Cougar Lake for the first time. Since then and up into the future, there has been chemical, mechanical, and physical removal of hydrilla within the inlet, Cougar Inlet, Fall Creek, and the southeast corner of the lake. And there will be continuing on in the future. Let me go back here. Sorry. What is hydrilla? So hydrilla is an invasive aquatic plant. Showed up in the United States around 1950s, believed to be, in Florida. And it's also believed that it came through the aquarium market. It grows very rapidly. You can see in the photo on the right up top, that is a pond in Florida. The photo was taken by some students at the University of Florida. And that is, like, if I recall what I read about it, 4 years of growth that they know of. I'm going to move on from exactly what hydrilla is. Basically, it can be, it's a fragmenting plant. It transports by wind, water, sediment, boats, boat bilge. Basically, it has ability to reroute and create new populations wherever it settles. So one plant that's commonly mistaken for hydrilla is Elodea. You see Elodea on the right, that has only 3 whorls, although it can have more. Hydrilla is typically 4 to 8. I was just reading on one of those sheets up there. It said if it has less than 5 whorls, it's probably not hydrilla. The leaf margins on hydrilla are serrated, much like a knife. On Elodea, they're smooth. And the hydrilla will produce tubers and be able to regenerate from that as well. Elodea does not. The 2017 management plan is developed by a group of agencies, some people that are here tonight. Some of them are Tompkins County Soil and Water, the Health Department, New York State Parks, Bolton Point. There's a few others that bring their minds together to help create the plan management plan for each season. So for 2017, there really are 3 kind of separate areas. They're all together in the management plan, but they're separate locations that we work on each season. The Cougar Inlet, this year, due to lack of evidence of hydrilla in 2015, 2016, was not treated chemically. We did have a contingency physical removal or benthic barrier plan put in place in case we did find new populations. So therefore, we didn't use endothal. Which means that the inlet was not closed for boating or recreation. The south end, which I'm going to call the south kind of east corner area of concern, is grown. We'll get to that later. That we chose to go with benthic matting and physical removal only, not chemically treat it. There will also be an increased plant monitoring efforts within the south end, the inlet, and Fall Creek. They've all been increased. Fall Creek was a primary treatment area this season. We treated with Sonar Genesis and Sonar H4C. Sonar H4C is a pelletized form of the herbicide. They are both active ingredient fluoridone. The Sonar Genesis was applied via subsurface injection unit that was located on Fall Creek near State Route 13. And the Sonar H4C pellets were applied via boat, whether it be hand broadcast or a backpack mechanized unit. I'm not exactly sure what they used. So one of the first things we do once we have the management plan developed is we have to notify the public. This is kind of an end of the year public meeting. We had a meeting similar to this in the springtime, summertime. One other thing that we have to do is we have to put a legal notice out. We have to send out and let everybody know, hey, we're going to do a project, allow the public a time to respond if they have to or if they'd like to, as well as placing out signs where the treatment will be. The next slide here is just a map, kind of give you a bird's eye view of where exactly you may have seen the signs. The yellow line.
It does.
Anyway, the yellow line there is actually where all the signs were placed 100 feet apart. So treatment for this season began on August the 9th and ended October the 4th. The subsurface injection unit that applied the sonar genesis was actually operated on a remote type system. They did have to come back to whether it was add product or do any type of maintenance, but the adjustments were made remotely. The H4C, again, applied by boat. The benthic mats that were used have been used in isolated patches in the southeast corner this year, out in front of Stewart Park, I believe there's one, and then into the south right corner there are a couple as well. The targeted concentration for these two chemical herbicides was 3 to 5 parts per billion, which the MCL is 50, I'm pretty sure. So we're well below that. This is the Fall Creek treatment area. I didn't notice this until I got here this evening. I actually stuck the wrong map in here. The injection unit is shown here on the map. It actually was located right here. So the section between Ithaca Falls and 13 was not treated. That looks like the treatment zone for 2016. My apologies. Backwater treatment area. These are the areas located off of Fall Creek that weren't necessarily thought to get the flowing herbicide, so they were treated by the Sonar H4C pelletized. Stewart Park, the Fall Creek Cove, wetland area, Cornell wetland area, and the golf course lagoon. One other thing that we do while we are in the middle of treatment season is water quality. That's a big part of it, required by DEC to sample certain locations to check on that concentration level. Background samples were taken prior to the start of treatment. They were taken at the half a mile locations, as well as 24, 48, 72 hour periods during treatment. Every week, the samples were shipped to CPRO for analysis. CSI also got locations that were analyzed at their facility. That's Community Science Institute. If you guys are not sure about that, it's just outside of Ithaca. Brown Road, I believe, or Warren Road. Every other week, we also had to take duplicate samples of within the treatment area that went to CSI to be analyzed. This is just a map of the sampling locations. You can see FC 12, 13, and 14 are in the center of the channel, and then there are sampling locations within each one of the backwaters. There's three locations on the slide that are not shown. It's FC 1, 2, and 3. FC 1 is half mile up the west shore, 2, half mile up the east shore, and FC 3 was used in the Fall Creek waterfalls, basically at the base of the falls. That's the highest upstream we could get. This is a table, basically where I tracked my water quality results. I'm not sure if the health department is going to put this into a different format or not, but right, this is what we had. The yellow numbers at the tail end are one location within the treatment area that was kind of not flushing out as quickly as we thought. So we sampled that on into week 13. Everything else was below the recommended sampling concentration well before that. Some of you guys may recognize the man in the pictures. That's Bob Johnson. He did our plant monitoring for as many seasons as I know of. And I'm assuming he's going to be continue on right into the future, I hope. So basically what Bob and his crew do is they go out and utilize grid maps to rake toss sample for hydrilla. This season, we'd started out initially only going to a hydrilla presence or absence. As the season has gone on, he has taken certain locations and made them into logging everything. It's the data's there, you might as well capture it. The annual report, which Bob and his crew, or Bob himself, put together, that will be available soon. We have every one of those on file that Bob's ever done for the project, so contact us if you want to review them. We can definitely make that available. So here's the results for plant monitoring. These results are as of October 19th. So there are continuing monitoring efforts that are happening now. And we just don't have those results. They haven't been compiled. So just taking a look here at some of what we have on the map. I'm going to skip forward. I may bounce back and forth. The two locations that are furthest north, the one on the left is a little bit harder to see. It's in the gray. And the one on the right, they were found, I believe that was September timeframe, mid-September, when those new hydrilla populations were located. They still have to be investigated to more pinpoint their exact location. If you look down on the southern end of the map there, you can see the red locations. The red squares are a little bit hard to see, kind of the far right southeast corner, and one over here to the furthest most west along the shoreline. Those are locations in which benthic mats were used this season. And the blue locations along the shoreline are individual plant clumps of hydrilla that have been found during the plant monitoring this season. I want to remind you guys that we did not chemically treat last year or this year with herbicide in the south end of the lake. See if anything in here I didn't hit. So really to wrap it up, I just want to go over kind of where we're at as far as future goals and what the task force is looking forward to in the next coming years. We're going to continue to work on that management plan and do the best that we can to eradicate hydrilla from Cayuga Lake entirely. Part of that is going to be working with the now formed Aurora Hydrilla team. They probably are doing things, maybe we aren't, and it may be vice versa, but we're going to work all that stuff out. For next season, I can say that preliminary talks, I don't want to speak for the LTF because it's an organization of a bunch of people. However, the talks are right now that treatment within Fall Creek and treatment within Cayuga Inlet will not occur next year. The only fragment of a piece that was found within Fall Creek this year was very small, unable to locate the plant itself. So we follow along basically what's been a peer review process, and we've been given the idea, okay, well, we should treat 1 year after, maybe 2 years after the last known presence. We're beyond that with the inlet. We are now at that point in Fall Creek and discussions about how we're going to handle the patches, the isolated patches at the south end of the lake are happening right now. Benthic mat, potentially. We're also sent a modification in to one of our permits to allow us to use hand tools and mechanical and physical removal of these individual plants. But right now we haven't exactly set in stone what the plan is for next year. And at that, I don't know if you want to wait till questions afterwards, or we can just go ahead and do it now. If anybody has any questions or comments, anything I might have left out that you didn't hear about, or anything you want to hear more about.
Okay.
All right, Bill.
I'm wondering, got me thinking when we heard about, what was it, a week, 2 weeks ago, with respect to application of glyphosate potentially in the spring. It's also a fluoride-based pesticide. So it got me thinking about sediment loading. And I'm just curious, do we have any sampling ongoing, assessing buildup in sediment or biological material in the bottom of the lake, bottom of the inlet, any of that area?
As far as coming out of Fall Creek?
Yeah, just the... what's in the sediment? Is there anything showing up that's discernible as a result of this treatment?
I do not have anything that I know of that's happening right now. As far as...
you mean herbicide building up? Or?
Well, look, I mean, fluoride doesn't really go anywhere in the environment. It's going to be persistent, right?
Fluoride or...?
Yeah, fluoride.
Fluoridone, you mean the chemical fluoridone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything out there on that. at the levels we're using it, I think they're pretty low and they wouldn't persist after, certainly after a year. At least we don't have any data on that. The time that the most fluoridone that was used probably in Juanita Lamoca Lakes in 2003, and they were using like 18 parts per billion, and that they thought it would be gone within, you know, within 10 days or so. It persisted throughout the winter. That was sort of a classic thing in New York State when that happened. That lasted until almost the next spring, but it eliminated all that. But that was at a much, much higher concentration than we've been using down here. So I don't know that answer, but I don't think, I've never seen anything on anybody looking at the sediments.
Right. Well, I mean, fluoride is going to be there someplace and some sort of a breakdown secondary product, right? It's not going to disappear. It's not going to evaporate. It's not going to, you know, it's, so I'm curious about that. And if we can discontinue treatment in future years, that's great anyway, but I'm curious about what kind of information we have.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. If anybody's got any information out there, but I haven't seen it.
I know at the beginning of the treatment, that was one of the questions we got, and we looked for any kind of peer-reviewed literature at that time, and I believe we could not find any studies that have been done about the persistence in the sediment and buildup. I'm not aware that anyone has looked since then, but we did look early on when we first made the decision to do Florida.
You're being very dispassionate and just sort of reporting the facts, ma'am, but isn't this a success story?
I think it is. I just came on to the county mid last season, so really I'm not as maybe involved deeply as the rest of the task force, and I'm kind of the new guy on the boat, but it is a success story. Anytime we can stop applying a chemical to an issue that we're trying to resolve, I think that's positive. And that goes for, you know, the just being invasive and being in there any other way, you know. So I think it's a good thing, yeah.
I have a question. So yeah. Gail Brahma, I have a house along the shore. You know, I've come to these meetings for a long time. We've always been talked about eradication. While it was in the inlet, that seemed like certainly a good possibility. Now that it's in the lake and you can't really effectively herbicide treat it, you have to use these mechanical methods. Can't get a parts per million concentration need for eradication along, you know, because it's, I guess, because it dilutes so quickly once it gets into the lake. So are we still thinking there's some possibility, given the locations that I see, which are very, I mean, again, concentrated, it's in front of Stewart Park, but in other locations and as well as up in Aurora, are we still having, you know, think there's a possibility of eradicating?
Sure. So there's a few different questions in there. First off, the inlet, was eradication possible? I wasn't here, like I said, when they started it, but I know that last year, 2015, 2016, 2017, there's been no hydrilla within the Cuga Inlet. So that is success. Right. The south end, with the new prevalence of some hydrilla patches out there, I think with what's going on in Aurora, and the potential use of new herbicides and or some type of the lake is high right now. You know that as a lakeshore owner. It's going to go down. It's going to recede. Are we going to locate those hydrilla patches? Does it drop that far? Not sure. That would be something. Sure. So if there's been talk within our meetings to potentially mark these patches, if they're this, they're from the description I get from Bob, they're isolated. I mean, there's not a running stem. So if we could isolate those, locate them, get approved for removal, I think that's something we can do. If we could get the tuber and anything that's underneath it, I think that'd be great. We could do that. We could spot treat it with different herbicides that are being talked about now at different locations. And I think as far as the ones that are further up the lake, really that's kind of new territory for the community itself, as far as herbicides being applied to deep water like that. So I don't really have an answer for that right now, as far as we're working on it and putting the best heads that we can together to try to figure it out.
I think there's one thing out there that we're talking about this being new in the lake, but we've had it in the lake for quite a while. We just don't know where it is and how much. But we've had our first large mass in 2013, and so that was in the southeast corner.
And there I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, we removed it, and that was pretty successful. We got some. We didn't have mats. We just went and got tarps and put it on top of it and so forth. So that's the first is. But that was also the instance in 2013 when we had the huge 5 inches of rain here. And at that was the day we actually found it in Fall Creek. So we actually found it that day. That's the first time we knew it was there in Fall Creek. And that night and the next day, we had it going a mile up the lake. So we had a lot of it going to the lake. What we thought we last year looked pretty good because we didn't find anything. Then all of a sudden this year it's popping up, which is sort of the story in a lot of other places too with dealing with hydro. We're just not, like I mentioned, we're just not sure where we're going from here. But, I mean, we're still looking at monitoring and using mats, but I think we need something in addition in our back pocket somehow.
So I know there's been talk about at the south end of the lake, that the way the water currents go, it sort of comes out and it sinks into that southeast corner. And then I see there's one point that's on the west. So could you speak to that a little bit?
So the west was really a surprise. We just found that about a month ago. And we have not found anything ever on the divided in half right there. We've never found anything on that side. We'll have lots of pieces coming out of Fall Creek that ends up just out of Fall Creek toward the lighthouses. We found those in the past. We've had it the second year, 2012, we had it going out between the lighthouses. We found fragments out there going toward the lake. Those we never found again. We never found anything more in that area back into the inlet. But the one on the other side, and if you think of the big storm that comes and it usually blows it up like that, and it gets the northwest wind, brings it back down into the southeast corner. That's sort of been a real savior for us. That's really helped. But when it comes out of there, it also, some of it probably disperses to the west. And it's not a very big piece. We've been trying to find it after the first incident. We haven't. So it's a fairly small, and what it appears, the good thing we're seeing is that these things seem to be slow moving and growing. We aren't seeing them really grow into big pieces. The one at the Cornell Sailing Club, we still have not found that again. We first found that 3 years ago, and we haven't been able to come up with that again. So we're just surprised that there is the one on the west shore, but that's the way it is, I guess. So that was a real surprise, and so that kind of opens up a huge area now to look at and potentially treat, and that's a huge problem for herbicides because you wouldn't be able to afford it and make that work treating a large area like that.